Let us pray. Now, by God's grace, may we hear, may we see, and may our hearts be open to the Word of God. May the words that I proclaim be translated by the Holy Spirit, so that those that hear will hear God's Word, not the words of this poor sinner who is simply saved by grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Want to remind you of a couple of things if you look at your screens. 2 weeks ago, Megan preached on the sower. And the sower story is wrapped around what you saw me read this morning. So the story itself is before, the explanation is afterwards, and then we have this section in between that kind of has the question and answering of the disciples. So you remember the sower. Then last week, we together, we wanted you to have your sow well. And so we asked, is you well with your sow? And we ended last week with the dude and the, I'm not sure what that is. I'm going to have to try to figure it out, but he's in the pool and it's well with his sow. You remember him, right? And I told you last week that this Sunday may not be quite as fun an ending. You remember me saying that? Those who are awake or here remember me saying that, so there we are. All right, so what we're going to do this week, we want to delve into something that's a little more heavy, something that's a little tougher, because it's talking about hearing and seeing and God's perception and spiritual understanding of God. So we move into something that you know. Y'all know that? How many of you know what that is? Say it out loud. Amen. Okay. That's Christian, right? No. All right, thank you. Whew. Little concern there. Yin and the yang, Taoism, other places, but Taoism at its best. Simply saying that there's light and dark, and that involved in each person, this is so simple that everybody who studied this are going, David, did you really actually study this? Yes, I did, but let's just do this, keep it simply. And then it's male, female, and there's male and femaleness in all of us, and it's trying to say those things, and it's trying to see how all that works together, and it's trying to promote something that says we have all this kind of working together. And as my professor in seminary said one time, because he was trying to make it simple for us seminarians, because he knew all of us didn't know what we were doing, he said to us, if you look at that, it's just basically a swirl, and you're in the swirl somewhere. Amen? All right, and so if you think about that, and you look at it, and you kind of start thinking about what it's saying, it does have one component for us, okay? It is not Christian, all right, on any level, but it has one component, is that if you think about us, who we are, no matter how good you are, every now and then you have an ability to be angry. Amen. And even the worst of people, remember my prison discussion with the children, even the worst of people on occasion have the ability to be good. And I know that from prison because, like I say, I worked in prisons and I spent most of my time as a trustee in the level 4 prisons with the worst prisoners. That was my intent. I wanted to work there. And even though I wasn't a chaplain, I had the privilege of going and being in those prisons and spending time with those dear folk. Spent most of my time with either mass murderers or some form of mass criminal that did different things. And I wanted to spend time with him. Two of my favorite people who have become unpaid chaplains because they're in life sentences or on death row have accepted Christ in prison kind of came from that group, okay, and really preach God's word better than a lot of us do at this point. But so I bring that because they do have that thought process of we're each at times, all right? Now get away from Taoism real quick because I don't want to teach a class in it, and let's go here. Our hearts. I picked this because if you read the scripture, It talks about the hardening of the heart. People's hearts have grown dull and their ears hard of hearing. Have you ever noticed that the more you watch bad stuff, the least it affects you? Have y'all noticed that? The more you pay attention to things that you watch on TV, you hear stories. I mean, I remember, I'm a child of the Vietnam era, okay? Some of y'all are too. Some of y'all are child of South Korea and the Korean War era. You're that, and some, of course, are more recent. But I'm a child of Vietnam, and every day at my high school, we would post on the board those from my high school that had been killed in Vietnam. Of my senior class, 15 of that senior class joined the Marines. Okay? I wanted to join the Marines. My uncle, B.G. Anderson, who was chief petty officer in the Navy, showed up after President Nixon had signed that little piece of paper that said I didn't have to join anymore. But I was going anyway because I did not want to disrupt the fact that some form of my family had been in service since the Revolutionary War. So there's a long lineage of our family who served in the military. And I wasn't going to stop that. Well, he showed up, and being a chief petty officer of the Navy, he wasn't just a chief petty officer of the Navy, he was the chief petty officer of the Navy. He showed up at my house with a rope. And he said, you got two choices, son. You can either not go on your own, or I can tie you to the chair, and you cannot go. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this, see, you're supposed to finish my sentence now, the hard way. Now, those who know me know I do nothing the easy way. Don't believe in it, never have, why start now? Where's Mary Lynn, amen? Yeah, okay. Make sure you're back there. I just don't, okay? Let's just charge forward. Let's just start here. And no matter how much we think we can't do it, let's do what? Let's do it. And the more they tell us we can't, the more what am I going to do? If y'all don't want me to do something, don't tell me I can't. So what's the other side of that story? If you really do want me to do something, just tell me I can't. But in high school, they kept posting the names. In our high school one year, we had 47 of our students not come back from Vietnam. After a while, you just don't want to look at the board. You know what I mean? And after a while, you hear names so often that your heart just becomes dull to it. Well, how many times have you heard the sermon, a sermon on the seeds being sowed? How many times do you think you've heard that? I mean, if you've been in church, you've heard it. Now, if you're new to church and you don't have a clue what we're talking about with the seeds being sowed, see me after church. You'll know before you leave. All right? But you hear it. And you almost have it memorized. Seeds are sown, some on hard ground, some on rocky ground, some on good soil. You know, and you know how it unfolds. Well, you hear it so often that your heart just becomes kind of stale to it. Same thing about Easter. We're Easter people, right? Every Sunday in the Methodist church or any church that's Christian ought to be what? Easter all over again. You should come in. I mean, you know what Easter's like. I don't know how it's like here, but I assume it's like it is about a bunch of churches. You have more people on Easter, amen? Everybody's smiling on Easter because it's Easter, right? Everybody, Jesus is risen. Everything's good. Everybody's happy. Preacher gets to count all those numbers, makes his figures look better, amen? Everything's good. And you get this, right? But on this Sunday, did we come with the same enthusiasm? Oh boy, I get to go to church. Right? Choir? I've seen y'all sing. I've seen y'all practice. Sarah really pushes y'all, doesn't she? Amen. But you love it, don't you? If you ever showed up and Sarah didn't push you, what would you do? She's sick. She's sick. What's wrong? She on vacation? Yeah. Medication. Heavy stuff. Y'all ever been to choir practice just once? Go to choir practice once. You don't have to join. Just go. Well, the Sarah of choir practice is the David of preaching. I'm going to push you. Because we're better than we think we are. And why? We're not this. We're not that heart. That's not who we are. We're Easter people. We celebrate the risen Christ. We believe in the tomb is empty. We believe that when the women went and they went back and told the disciples, they outran each other, and we proved that old people can get there slower than new people, but we look more carefully when we get there. We see all that stuff. You never heard it put that way before, have you? Go look at that. It's right there if you go look at it. We believe in that resurrection. And we celebrate it. It's us. But after a while, we hear, but we don't listen. And it enters our heart, but our hearts have become this. And you think about that. Think about how it relates to us. Now, if you look, how many of y'all know who that is? Well, there's silence in the house now. That's, at least some of you are brave enough to go, David ain't got a clue. Is it who? Me. No, it's not many. That's kind of funny. Anyway, so no, it's not many. I wish I'd have thought of that. And so look at what she says. You should be able to see it. If not, I'm going to read it to you. Better be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing at all. Now, who is it? There she is. Have you ever watched any video on her? I mean, it's something, it's enough to read about it. But have you ever watched any video on her? If you had a chance to watch video on her, do that. Can't hear, can't see. She tells who you are. I won't hurt you, Linda, I promise. She tells who you are, by her fingers. She rubs her fingers on your fingers and knows who you are by the way your fingers feel. And once she gets you, she never forgets how your fingers feel. That's how she knows. Now, let's be fair. More than likely, if I had been her, I'd have crawled up in a ball and won't know why God did that to me. And yet, she refused, go back to here, she refused to have that heart. See, when you read this scripture, and it says at the very end of the Isaiah part, when it says at the very end of the Isaiah part, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. When it gets here, we've just read what Isaiah said, and they've done all those things, and they will not understand, and yet you hear what God says, I still want to heal them. And we get over here, and Jesus says to his apostles, but blessed are your eyes. So the question comes today, which set of eyes do you have? Who are you? Who am I? It's not fair to ask who you are with asking who I am. Who are you? Are you the ones that Jesus says, and blessed are you because you see and you hear? Or are you the ones that have the ability not to see and hear? Which ones are we? Now, one of the things that's beautiful about this is that seeing and hearing doesn't mean we have to see and hear the same thing. That is a base. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We talked about a minute ago. Died for us, rose again on the third day. That's our base. We have a base story to tell about who Christ is. That is our belief. That's what makes us different than anybody else, different than when we went back to the very first screen today. What makes us different is we have a faith in a risen Christ. Amen? That's why we're different. If we don't have that, well, let me just say to you, I make a mean pizza. We might as well just have a nice pizza party, enjoy each other's company, and go to the house. Because there is no difference between us and everybody else if we don't have a faith in Jesus Christ as a risen Lord. But do I have to believe everything the way you have to believe it? And when I get up and preach and do all this stuff that I do, do you have to go home and say, and with an expectation that I think you have to believe everything I believe? I believe you have to believe in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. After that, we get the fun of interpreting and hearing what God says and letting our eyes and ears interpret the Word of God as God leads us through our life, because my life is different than your life. I'm going to finish with this. Remember I said that there was three people who spent time in prison that were not guilty but spent some time there? You remember I said that? I'm one of those three. I was not guilty. Amen, Mother? Make sure she agrees with that. And yet, I got the joy of being at 1601 Walden Avenue in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in that prison for a little while, till they found out that I was not guilty. Now, I always love prison ministry. If you're around me long enough, you're going to find out we're going to do prison ministry. Why? That's what Jesus told us to do. That's not real hard for me. It's in the Bible. We do it. You know, it's kind of easy. I didn't mean to do it from the inside. It was not my intent to do it from in there. But God has other plans. Now, be careful how I describe things here, because I know I'm under that HIPAA stuff, and I got to make sure I don't define something I shouldn't define, so I'm going to be very careful. So if this seems vague, it is vague, okay? But one of the dear people I got to spend time with in that prison was a pimp. Now, do I need to define to anybody here what a pimp is? If you're under the age of 15, your parents will, and don't ask them. I got to spend time with him. We kind of look like Mutt and Jeff. He's 6'9", weigh about 290, and I'm me. Well, the entire time we were there, we talked about his preacher had been talking to him about Jesus for the last several years. How many of y'all thought that those kind of folks had preachers? Everybody's got a preacher, even the ones that don't admit it. Well, I found out 2 years after we had been there together that he had left his current position and opened a halfway house for women in another city. And over 200 women had went back to their families, left their current place that they were at, and changed their lives. How much of that did I have? I don't know. But we talked about it the whole time I was there. God has a plan for us even when we don't like it. And let me just help you with it. I did not like it. So why am I drawn to prison ministry? Should be obvious now. But my heart had to be different than it was on that picture to be open to what God has called me to do inside those cells. My heart had to be open to what God was calling me to be inside of that place that I didn't want to be while my wife's outside the walls and they won't even let her call me or talk to me or have one phone call with each other. Right? And the church that I was pastoring at the time all gathers with her outside the walls, singing and praying and telling everybody that would listen, he didn't do that. Think about it. How's your heart? How do you think? Which one are you? The deaf or the hearing? The blind or the seeing? And I love her. If y'all haven't read Helen, please go read her. Go pay attention to her. When I talk about being blind, I'm talking about the heart. How does your heart see? How does it see? Do you still cry when you see children abused? Do you still cry when you see the hungry not eating? Do you still cry when you watch your community have drug issues? Do you still cry and want to know what you can do when you watch things that are not right and yet you think you can do nothing about it? Do you still cry when you know people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Do you still cry? And I told you last week this ending would be different than that ending. Didn't lie to you, did I? I still cry. And Mary Lou will catch me when I'm sitting home watching the news and I see refugee children with nothing to eat. I still cry. Why? They're not my children. They're God's children. And because of God's children, guess whose children they are? They are my children. And I still cry. Because I have so much, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty. Now, I know this is heavy, and I know this is where I'm going to leave y'all. Next week, I'm not leaving you here. You got to come back here part two of this. I'll leave you in a happier place next week, okay? But I still cry. And last night in the emergency room, this was not part of this sermon until 2 o'clock last night. When we're sitting there with Gracie, and she's crawled up in my lap or crawled up in her mother's lap, and we see beautiful little children in that ER with no parents. Social worker brought them. Nobody to love on them. If I could have brought them all home with me. It's a law against that, but if I could have, I'd have reached over and grabbed them, brought them to the house. Because I don't want my heart and my eyes not to see and not to hear and not to be moved. I offer this to you today. Not because it's me. I offer today because I believe in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 The altar is open. It's a great place to pray. Your seats are good too. Your house is good with your family. Pray as God leads you. Sarah?